Will you take your Bible now and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, students, you don't have to be around a person very long until you sense the spirit of that person. Now, when you find that passage, 2 Corinthians 4, then look at me. You know what? You students have already formulated an opinion about Jerry Savinsky. And some of you, this is the first time you've ever met me, but you know what? You have formulated an opinion about me. You know why? You can't be around a person very long until you sense the spirit of that individual. You know, when you look at the Apostle Paul, you can't be around this man of God very long until you find him revealing his heart. And today, this message really deals about this man of God, the Apostle Paul, and his life, and his what God had did with his life. So would you all, with me right now, stand as I read you 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we had this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of this honesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Our dear Father, today we ask again for your divine help to make known the word of God to impact our life as we live for you. We pray in Christ's name, amen. May be seated. As we look upon this passage, the first thing I want to reveal to you about this man of God, the Apostle Paul, is his ministry. He said in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, Paul had a specific ministry. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. God gave those men a specific ministry. Just like us, God gives us all a specific ministry. Look at me. You may not go around America and around the world like I do, preaching the word of God, but God still has a ministry for you. You know, when I was a senior in college, well, I knew as a freshman God called me an evangelist. But I said, you know, if I'm going to spend my life with pastors, I need to know the function of a local church, and I need to know the heart of a pastor. And so, when I was a senior, I went to a town called Anderson, South Carolina. I had no church, no congregation, and no financial supports. I did not know I was supposed to have financial supports. And God's my witness, I did this from the depths of my heart. I wanted to start a church. And so I go down there, and it's a long story, but I met a man, a complete stranger named Mr. King, who owned a Shell oil company. And I said, sir, and I can't tell you the details, it's too long, how I met the Lord, I met the man in the first place. And I said, I'm looking to start a church in Anderson. And I said, I don't know of anything available. He said, well, let me take you around and show you what you can rent. And so I got out of my white Volkswagen into his brand new white Cadillac. And he drove me around Anderson and said, you could rent that building for $450. Or you could rent this building for $500. And all these buildings, and finally, I said, sir, I can't do any of that. I couldn't afford 50 cents. I had no money. And so I said, no, I can't rent any of these. So I go back to college. And the next week, the director of the ministerial students called me up. He said, Jerry, there's a banker who wants to meet you in Anderson. He understands you want to start a church. And he gave me your name and told me you're a student. And so he wants to meet you. I said, the president wants to meet me? He said, yes. So I go down to Anderson. I walk into the First Federal Savings and Loan. And I said to the secretary, the president wants to meet me. And so she said, well, go into his office. And so I walk into his office, and look at me, students, the carpet was as thick. It was a very plush office. And he said to me, I understand you want to start a church here in Anderson. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I like your attitude. I said, thank you, sir. He said, well, I have a building I'd like to let you use. I said, really? He said, yes, and I'm not going to charge you any rents. I said, well, wonderful. He said, matter of fact, I'm not going to charge you for any electricity. I said, my, that's very kind of you, sir. He said, would you like to see the building? I said, oh, yes. So I began to carry my head out the door like this. We walked out of the First Federal Savings and Loan. We walked across the street. We walked down by the West Earl Pool Room. And beside the West Earl Pool Room was a little rinky, dinky, pink front building. He said, there it is. And the Lord put a pin on my head, and all the air came out. He said, would you want it? Well, what could I say? I said, yes. So I went to the rescue mission. And I borrowed some psalm books and some folding chairs. And I paid a friend of mine to build me a pulpit for $5. And then I went down there, and I was not used to Southern ways. I'm from West Virginia. We said yuns guys or yuns. We never said y'all. Never heard that word in my life, y'all. So I go down there, and the South really was different, you know. And I was not used to Southern ways. West Virginia, you invite a man to church, he'll look you right in the eyes, cuss you out, say, no, I won't go to your church. Or else he'll say, I'll be there, and he'd be there. That's what I was used to. I was not what I call, and this is my phraseology, the Southern ethical kindness. And so my wife and I would go soul winning. And they would say, where y'all located? We said, on the West L Street. They said, what time's the service start? We said, 10 o'clock. They said, we'll be there. Bunch of liars. Nobody showed up. And for 10 weeks, I just preached to Sharon. Look at me. I said, 10 weeks, I just preached to Sharon. She never raised her hand once. Never came down the aisle, you know. And so for 10 weeks, I just preached to her. Well, the 10th week, I finally brought a young friend of mine and his wife down. And he taught Sunday school at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, no one was present. And students, I'm going to demonstrate what I did, okay? I got so discouraged, I took my coat off like this. I threw my coat across my back like this. And I looked at him and I said, I guess God does not want me to start a church here in Anderson. I said, you know a place we can go and eat? He said, yeah, Jerry. Let's go. I said, let's go. I mean, I preached for 10 weeks and no one came. When I talk about going out visitation, we're talking 3 and 4 hours every Sunday. So I'm walking up the door. I've got 1 foot in the church like this. Bent all over like this, 1 foot in the sidewalk. One in walked two ladies who almost knocked me over that Sharon and I had just visited the day before. And I said, come on in, ladies. We are now ready to start our services. And you know what, students? I'll never forget the first sermon I ever preached to a congregation. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the wonderful fact that he gave his only begotten Son, the wonderful act that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, the wonderful pact. There's no platform, folding chairs. My wife and the couple over here, these two ladies are over here, and I gave the invitation. I said, if there's anybody here today and you recognize you need Christ as your Savior, raise your hand in the air. And one lady raised her hand high in the air like that. I said, God bless you, ma'am. Is there anybody else? And the other lady, she raised her hand high in the air like that. And I said, God bless you too, ma'am. Look here, students. I'm one of the very few speakers who ever got a 100% response in the first message. And we gave the invitation, you know, but they held on to the chair. They would not come forward. Well, the next Sunday, I thought they'll come back. And so I brought this couple back. Plus, I brought another young couple, Tom and Linda Harper. Tom was going to lead songs. Well, that morning, no one showed up at all. That night, our service had started at 7:30. At 7, around 7:25, I was so discouraged, I took my coat back off. Well, all of a sudden, Tom said to me real loud, he said, get your coat on. Get your coat on. I said, why? He said, here come some people. And I put my coat on, and I said, where are they, Tom? He said, I'm just teasing you. Well, I was not in a teasing mode, students. I took my coat back off. It was 7:29. I'll never forget this. When all of a sudden he said, hey, Brother Jerry, get your coat on. Here come some people. And I said to him, I said, hey, Tom, you stop teasing me. You hear? He said, I'm not teasing you. Look out the door. I looked out the door. Students, it looked like 100 people were marching to my church. It was only 25. But if you preach to one person for 10 weeks, you would think 25 looked like 102. These two unsaved ladies brought 25 of their friends and neighbors to the meeting that night. And when I gave the invitation, here's how I gave it. I said, there'll be no standing up. There'll be no singing a song. If you want Christ to save you, stand right now and you come to me. And that night, 8 adults arose and came down the aisle and got saved. And that's how the Fellowship Baptist Church got started in Anderson, South Carolina. That's still going strong. And God taught me a very, very valuable lesson. It's always too soon to quit. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look, in the ministry, the Bible says we faint not. But number two, observe Paul's message. Look at verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look here, please. In our ministry, we have the message of God's word, the manifestation of the truth. You know, when I went to South Carolina, it's a long story. I met a man of God who heard me preach, and because of him, I moved to Star. But I was not used to Southern ways. His name was Barney Clark, one of the greatest soul winners I ever knew in the South. Barney Clark and I were just the opposite. I'm a Northern boy. I'm only 60 miles from Pittsburgh. He's from the South, and I was not used to Southern ways. And I never knew of Southern food. I didn't know of hog jowls and collards and black-eyed peas and fried okra and sweet tea. Look at me, food that will be in heaven. All right? Yeah, I was used to Southern. I was used to Northern ways, not Southern ways. And Barney was not used to Northern ways as I was not used to Southern ways. And Barney, I'd go to his home, and Barney said to me, Jerry, he said, I said, Barney, we got to go home. He said, why you got to go home? I said, well, Sharon has to make supper. He bends over in laughter. I'm looking at him, and I said, Barney, why are you laughing so hard? He's holding his stomach. He said, did you say Sharon has to go home and make supper? I said, yeah, Barney. What's wrong with that? He said, in the South, we don't make supper. We cook supper. And, oh, I tell you. But then again, we just had a great time together. But whenever Barney got serious with you, you know what he would do? He'd lower his head and he'd fold his arms like this. And when I got ready to go into evangelism, you know what this godly man said to me? He said, Brother Jerry, can I give you some counsel, son? I said, yes, Brother Barney, what would that be? He said, Brother Jerry, you preach the word, the word, the word, you hear? I never forgot that. You know what God honors? He honors his word. He honors his word. This is God's power. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Look, the most powerful message you have is the word of God. It's not your charisma, your intellect, your speaking ability, or even your sincerity. You know what God honors? He honors the power of this word. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. And I'm telling you, in the ministry, we've got to make much of the word of God. This is what God uses. But then third of all, would you look at verse 3? But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Well, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We find the mission, our mission. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid, then they're lost. Let me ask you students a question. Of what advantage is it to you if you got thick notebooks like this? What does it matter if you are straight in your theology? And what does it matter if you are correct in your music? And yet you never go and tell the lost about Jesus Christ. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You see, God has given you a ministry. He has given you the power of His Word. And now to carry it out, we've got to be so conscious. We've got to go out and tell others about Christ. You know, many years ago, my wife and I were home in South Carolina, and my wife gets so busy, the only way I can stop her is I'll say, honey, would you like to go for a ride in the country? And she'll say yes every time. And so I said, honey, would you like to go for a ride in the country? She said yes. So I took her for a ride in the country, and I said, would you like some ice cream? You know, and she said yes. I bought her some ice cream. And I said, well, honey, I got to stop by and see a man. Would you mind? She said, no. I met this man several years ago, whose name was Larry. And I said, Sharon, it'll just take a moment to meet the man. I just want to say hi to him. She said, hey, take all the time you need. That's okay. So I go and I began to knock on the door. And when I did, I saw a lock when they sell a home. And I thought, that's awful strange. Well, all of a sudden, a man on the back porch looked at me and he said, may I help you? I said, yes, sir. I'm looking for Larry. He said, well, I just bought Larry's home. I said, well, that's what explains this right here. And we started talking, and the man looked at me. He said, who are you? I said, well, my name is Jerry Savinsky, and I met Larry a couple years ago. He said, well, sir, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm an evangelist. I travel nationwide. And the man said these exact words. I cannot believe you are here. I just cannot believe you are here. I looked at the man and I said, well, why did you say that? He said, because I've been contemplating committing suicide all day long. And you said, "You're a preacher, huh?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Kevin, can I come talk with you?" He said, "Yes." We sat down at the table in his kitchen. He said these exact words to me. He said, "Jerry, my hell is now hell on this earth." I said, "Kevin, that's not right. Hell is a specific location. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." I said, "There's a heaven, there's this earth, there is a place called hell. This earth is not hell." He said, "I know what, Jerry, I know what." I said, "What's that, Kevin?" He said, "God is punishing me for my sins." I said, no, Kevin, God is not punishing you for your sins. You're the object of God's love." I said, "Kevin, can I take the Bible and show you something?" He said, I would like that." And I showed him the Bible. Everything I showed that man, he said, I believe that. I believe that. I believe the Bible." And finally I said, "Kevin, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior?" He said, "Yes, I would." He fell to his knees. He prayed. He invited Christ into his life. When we stood back up, this is the most interesting part. When he stood back up, he said to me, "I want to tell you something, Brother Jerry. He said, "You may not believe this, Mortia, because it's the truth." I said, "What's that, Larry or Kevin?" He said, two years ago, I was that close of committing suicide. There's a knock on my door. It startled me. I opened the door. A man said, "I'm Pastor so-and-so. I'd like to give you some materials from our church." He handed me the materials. He turned around and he left. Here, 2 years later, I'm that close of committing suicide. I hear a knock on the door. It startled me. And I heard you knock, and I turned around and asked who you were. You said you're an evangelist, but you took the Bible. And you showed me how Christ could save me. Students, I'm not embarrassed to tell you what happened after that. I started walking back to my car, and I was weeping. Weeping. My wife said, "What's wrong, honey? What happened?" I said, "Sharon, that man was ready to commit suicide. I just led him into Jesus Christ." You know what, congregation? I'm telling you something. You will never see God do things like that in your life until you realize you've got a mission. You are here in preparation, and you want to make good preparation, and I encourage that. But I'm going to tell you something. In your preparation, you've got to realize all of this preparation is not about you. It's about being used of God to turn others to Jesus Christ. I pray that will be the mission of your hearts.